So it is an exciting time of the year. It's an exciting time of the year, especially for those who truly understand the meaning of Christmas. It's interesting. Let me go on record and say that I, like so many of you, love all of the festivities that Christmas brings. I, like so many of you, I love the get-togethers, and I love all of the decorations. I love the exchange of gifts between loved ones. I love the building anticipation in the hearts of our children and us adults as well as we get closer to that wonderful day. I love the food, the eating that goes on. Let's get real honest. Some of the best stuff in the year takes place on Christmas Eve, especially for you Italians, you know what I mean. It's a good and exciting and wonderful time of the year, but it shallows in comparison to the reminder of all that this blessed holiday represents. And this morning, I just want us to take a moment of pause to focus on what Christmas really means to us. Consider the words of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Have you ever considered the implication of that passage? Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, the creator of all of humanity, would step out of the arena of eternity and step into the arena of time to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Somehow, according to Isaiah's prophecy, a virgin-born child would demonstrate God is with us. Consider Isaiah's prophecy just two chapters later. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and he shall have the name which will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The message that God is with us will be communicated by the arrival of a child. You see, the people of God, they awaited a king. They were anticipating a conqueror that would come on their behalf. They awaited a deliverer. They awaited their Messiah. But notice the words of Isaiah. "Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given." Unto us. It is for our benefit that he came, and not his own. Unto us, it is the greatest gift humanity will have ever been the recipient of. Unto us. It serves as a reminder that we are in need. We are in need of a solution. We are in need of help. We are in the need of a deliverer. And Isaiah prophetically looks down the annals of time, some 500 years later, and sees the solution to man's greatest dilemma in the form of a child. "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." We need to personalize this. "Unto you a child has been born. Unto you a son has been given." And notice he says the government will be upon his shoulder. It speaks of the authority of this Christ child. He is the ruler who will govern not only his people, but all that exists, all of the universe, all of the creation. The government, the control, the authority will be on his shoulders. Surely this Christ child that Isaiah speaks about is the ultimate fulfillment of Emmanuel, God with us. And as with all titles that are given to God in the scriptures, we gain greater insight into the character and the nature of God and how he interacts with his people. Isaiah said he is Emmanuel. The message for us to understand is he's not just a name, but it is an association. It is a reality that he is with us. And what Isaiah does for us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is he provides some further insight into this child who has been given unto us, and says, his name shall be called. Look at it again with me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Let's see what we can learn from these names, these titles that would be upon this one who has been given unto you and to me. Wonderful Counselor. Some of your Bibles, like mine, have a comma between wonderful and counselor, suggesting two separate titles. The language doesn't allow for that. Nor does the pattern in which Isaiah is writing as he talks about mighty God and everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is a wonderful counselor. Those two words go together. He is wonderful counselor. He is wonderful, certainly, isn't he? But the message that Isaiah highlights here is he is not just a counselor. He is a wonderful counselor. You see, Isaiah knew far too well how bad the people of God needed a wonderful counselor. They knew what it was to be under the horrific counsel of others. Just read some of the passages that Isaiah writes about. And all throughout the book of Isaiah, we read about the recklessness of human wisdom, how it lacked spiritual discernment, and it lacked care for other people. These people who were in the know, who were supposed to take care of them, didn't. But Isaiah says there's somebody who's going to come, and he is going to be a wonderful counselor. By contrast, the coming one would exercise wondrous counsel, unfailing depth of wisdom, knowledge that would exceed and debunk the prevailing thoughts of the day. Consider the way that Jesus silenced the scribes. Look at the way in which he rebuked the Pharisees, the way he shocked the crowds, the way that he exposed the rich and related with the poor. His wisdom was unheard of, for it is only true wisdom that knows that weakness is strength, as he taught. It is only true wisdom who knows that surrender is victory, who knows that leadership is synonymous with servanthood. It is only Jesus' true wisdom that knew that to die was to live. And so this counselor is a wonder because his counsel exceeds human wisdom. It reveals the wisdom of God, and it surpasses human understanding. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And I want you to know this morning that he is your Wonderful Counselor. It reminds us that he is one who listens to you. You know, for so many, this time of the year is very depressing. People everywhere, but not a one a friend. And so many times people see the joy in everybody else's life and they look and say, where is my joy? I want you to know that he is your wonderful counselor. He is one who listens. He is one who advises. He is one who cares. He is one who is available. And he is one who has something to say in our times of despair. He is our wonderful counselor. Secondly, Isaiah says that he is mighty God. This babe who would come was the mighty God. He is not just one who comes alongside, but he is very God of very God. He is mighty God. He is the hope of Israel. And he is the hope of all of mankind, as Andy pointed out this morning. The wonder and the message of the Christmas season, the wonder and the message of the incarnation is that man who was desperately in a bad way has found hope in the person of Jesus Christ. Mighty God. That title brought Israel hope. The people of God longed for hope. For Isaiah to declare to all of those who would await the arrival of the Messiah, mighty God spoke of God's ability to save. Mighty God spoke of God's ability to deliver, his ability to come to the rescue of these people who so desperately needed him. He is not just some distant deity who is not concerned about the cares and the affairs of his people, but as Andy said this morning, he gladly interrupts our world. And he is our mighty God. And what Messiah would do for those in whom he was born for, only God can do. Only a mighty God can do. He would redeem mankind back to himself. He would destroy death and sin. He would triumph over Satan. He would become the only acceptable sacrifice for our sins. He was mighty God. And I want you to know this morning that he is your mighty God. No matter what you may be going through, regardless of the trials you may face, the situations you're forced to endure, weeping, the scripture says, may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And the Christmas child reminds us of the hope that God is in control. Listen, we are constantly hearing in the media how bad things are, how desperate our situation is, how it's only going to get worse. Christian, let me remind you this morning that God is not bankrupt. That no matter what is going on around us, God has not moved from plan A to plan B. This is all going according to God's design. And what we have, Christian, is a wonderful opportunity in these days ahead. I don't know how hard it's going to get, but what I do know is no matter how big that mountain is, we need to remember that our God is bigger than that. And the opportunity that we have before us as Christians is to say, are we going to allow our environment to control our outlook? Are we going to allow the bad news of what's going on around us affect the way in which we approach God and approach one another? Are we going to catch on to all the negativity of the day? Or instead, are we going to look at how big our mountain is and realize our God is bigger? I hear the same news reports you do, but you know what? The church's greatest times are always in the midst of adversity. The greatest times for the church is always when all it could do was look up. And so what we have before us these next number of months, I don't know what they're going to look like, but I can tell you this, we have a great opportunity to allow this to become a defining line for those who are the church. Are we going to recoil and get back and not obey God? Or are we going to be like that one who keeps their eye on the author and the finisher of their faith and presses on and presses through? Don't get discouraged. God's in control. He is not bankrupt. There is no scandals in heaven. The economy of God is looking just fine. And where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And you know, when the darker the light, what? The greater the light. And so don't get discouraged. Christmas reminds us of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and was provided by God. He is our mighty God, whose circumstances and his ability to operate in our lives are not going to be determined by the economy. He is mighty God. I love what Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says. He says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. He is a mighty God. He is able to save to the uttermost, totally, completely, entirely. He is able to save us by way of justification. He is able to save us by way of sanctification. And he is going to save us by way of glorification. That day where we will step out of time and into eternity and live with him forever. He is able to save. That, my friends, needs to be the outlook we have. That is the big picture that we need to walk in these days ahead. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Now, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about Jesus. See, we're Trinitarians here. We believe in the triune nature of God, meaning we believe in one God, three persons. One in essence, three in person, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I thought this passage that Isaiah is talking about here is referring to Jesus. Why is he saying that now Jesus is going to be the everlasting Father? Kind of confusing. But don't worry, we haven't stumbled across a contradiction in the scriptures. Each of these titles refer not necessarily to the positions of the Messiah, but rather the relational function of the Messiah. Many kings in the Middle Eastern culture to which this was written claimed to be a father to their people, even to their slaves in captivity. Yet their fatherhood was only temporary. Their fatherhood at best was tainted because it was riddled with selfishness and sinfulness. But this one to whom Isaiah writes about would be not a temporary father, but everlasting father. You see, a key characteristic of fatherhood is that a father doesn't impose himself upon his children, but instead he sacrifices himself for his children's needs. I can't think of a better picture of Jesus, the one who gave himself for us. When we consider the story of the prodigal son, it is Jesus that we liken the father to in Luke chapter 15. We have this picture of Jesus as the father who waits for the wayward son to come home. You remember the story? And when he is a great way off, the picture we have of Jesus is that of a father who does not come with a heavy hand, but instead comes with open arms and receives this one who did not deserve it. He is everlasting Father. And so, as we think about that this morning, we need to remember that he is our everlasting Father. He is the one that accepts you not for what you do, but because of who you are. You're his. And he is not one who comes with a heavy hand, but he comes with open arms. Oh, there may be times he has to come with a heavy hand. But his posture towards us is for good. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and then fourth, he is Prince of Peace. Outside the coming of Messiah, there is no peace. Outside the coming of Jesus, there is no hope. Outside the coming of Jesus, we are in desperate position. Without the cross, peace with God is impossible. The garden assured us of that reality. When man fell in the garden, the peace with God that we once had was severed. Sin had entered into the world with all of its devastation, with all of its defiance, with all of its disposition. Chaos entered into our world and our lives because of the sin, and peace, and the peace that Adam enjoyed with his creator was lost in the garden. But this one who would come, who would be born unto us, is the Prince of Peace, the restorer of the peace that was lost in the garden. It is no wonder that this title, Prince of Peace, should come at last in these messianic titles, for it is the most climactic one. What sort of king will this one be? How shall he lead? In what way will this Messiah govern his people? He will be a peaceful king. One who not only comes in peace, but establishes peace. Not by brutal squashing of all defiance, but by means of a transparent vulnerability that communicates the kind of strength that only God can have. He is the Prince of Peace. And through this one that Isaiah prophesied about will come the desperately needed reconciliation between God and man. That this child who was born to us, that this wonderful counselor, that this mighty God, that this everlasting Father, that this Prince of Peace, those things that he brought, he, that very one, would eventually walk the road that would lead to the cross, where he would pay the ultimate price for my sin so that I might experience him as my wonderful counselor, as my mighty God, as my everlasting Father, and as my Prince of Peace. Christmas cannot be experienced apart from the cross or the garden, because it was at the garden that my need was created, and it was at the cross that my need was met in the person of Jesus Christ. And as we receive him and ask him to come into our lives and be our Lord and our Savior, as we put all of our dependence on him to gain eternal life, he then becomes our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Christmas time is many things to many people, as I mentioned before. And we ought to have good times. It ought to be fun. It ought to be a wonderful time of building family memories and doing all the wonderful stuff that Christmas involves. But most of all, Christmas is when the lover of my soul stepped out of eternity past and stepped into my chaotic, hectic world and became the Savior who was born unto us, so that I might enjoy him, experience him, love him, and be with him forever. That's what Christmas reminds me the most of. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful time of the year. It is a cause to look back and remember the purpose of the Christ coming for us. Lord, so many voices screaming into our ears, trying to pull away the true meaning of Christmas. Lord, may we as your people, in the midst of all the enjoyment that Christmas brings, may we never forget that Christmas is the time that God brought hope into the world in the person of Jesus Christ, our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. Amen.